man. Remain standing and turn in your Bible, if you will, to Malachi chapter number 2. Malachi chapter 2. We're back there looking in the book of Malachi. He's become a friend. Amen. And we're winding her down. We're not as close to the end as I thought we were. And maybe some might hope we were. But we're working our way there. I'm talking about in this book. We're closer to the end than we probably really think we are as far as time's concerned. Amen. But I love this book. It's been a blessing. Let me say this before I read and get into that. That song reminded me something I was thinking about during Sunday school. That song talks about moving on to higher ground. And much has been said about in Sunday school this morning, and in particular through this book of Malachi. Much has been said about how the modern movement is away from the what we call the old paths, into this newfangled, this modernistic, getting with the times kind of a program as far as religion's concerned. And I'd like to encourage, especially the young people here in the church, that you fall in place in standing with the old paths. Amen. That you step up to the mark to take the place. Because some of us older folk, I say, I'll be 50 next year. I look at that thing about next year, just a little over a year. I'm 48. I'll be 49 next month now, April. Amen. And then next year I'll be 50. And that's not old. Now, don't get to thinking that's old. Used to be, amen, used to be back in the old days, not now, amen. But there's young people in our church that I'm praying God help us that y'all will catch fire. By the way, I'm going to tell you what God did in my life, my and Melissa's life, in our early marriage, in our young years. God sparked in us a hunger for the old time way, amen. Amen. Men like Brother Sammy Allen, like Brother Hanley Milby. Amen. Men such as that. Men like Brother Hall, I'll be honest with you, encouraged me in that old time worship and preaching and standing and living. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, that's where the good way is. Amen. The world says the world's got the good way. They're lying. Amen. And it'll come out on them one of these days. You'll see it. Matter of fact, it comes out all the time that their way's not near as good as they make out like it is. But God's way's best. Amen. And I encourage you to fall in love with that. Amen. And stand with those old paths. Go on that upward way. Amen. Amen. All right. Malachi chapter number 2 and verse number 17 as we read our text. Ye have wearied the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them. Or, where is the God of judgment? Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Now jump down with me to verse number 17. Chapter 3, verse 17. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the privilege of being in the house of God this morning. Lord, for your blessings, keeping the weather away, allowing it to warm up, even though we got a little rain, a little water on the road, you let it warm up, that the snow's melting, it's not freezing at this time. You allowed us to be able to gather in. Lord, I thank you for the Sunday school hour that stirred our soul. And Lord, blessed us with the presence of God and the good, solid Bible truth and Bible doctrine. Lord, I want to thank you for that. I long for the day, Lord, when we shout the roof off the building. But I know that will not happen in the will of God unless we're grounded on doctrine. We've got to be standing on truth when we lift up holy hands. And that's what produces holy hands. Lord, I pray help us do that. And Lord, I pray you'd move among us and get the glory. Do that's needful. Do help Brother Steve. Thank you for the word that they've checked him out there, Lord. I pray help him. Miss Patty, be with them in these moments. Be with Brother Hall. Be with the young lady having the child, Lord. I pray meet all these diverse needs, but especially, Lord, that sinner that needs to come to Christ. Lord, I pray that you would prick their heart. Lord, you'd stab them to the core with the sword of the Spirit. Dear God, that you'd break the fetters and bonds of sin And Lord, you'd allow them to come and call on the name of the Lord Jesus and be saved before it's eternally too late. Father, I pray you'd strengthen and stir the saint to serve you and to love you and to please you. And Lord, that you'd get the glory and the honor. We ask these things in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. We've been away from Malachi now for some time. I want to return back to it and just draw you minds back in place with it if I can. I'm not going to do a total recap because that would take more than one service, as you know how that we've gone so far. Matter of fact, I think today makes the 23rd message out of the book of Malachi as we've looked at this. But we began studying this final section of this book. And we're looking at the fact that we're talking about the coming of the Lord. And we mentioned that's in two parts. He's going to come to deal in judgment with the sinners. But we're looking at the last part. He's coming to deal in justice with the saints. And that covers chapter 3, verse 16, down through the end of the book. And this section that we're looking at now shows how that God is going to treat those who trust Him while the rest of the world has turned away from Him. Amen. This powerful truth, the powerful truths of these verses, is that while judgment is being displayed upon the earth, the saints of God will be safely gathered and will be rejoicing in the presence of the angels. Amen. And what a blessed day that'll be. Amen. The wrath and judgment of God will be revealed upon this world, but the mercy and the grace of God will likewise be revealed to those that have trusted Him. Amen. And we've looked, first of all, already at the fact that they will be remembered. Verse number 16. They will be remembered. And he talks about a book of remembrance being written for them. Today we're looking at the fact that they will be rewarded. Now, we dealt with this already momentarily. I mentioned that this verse has three breakdowns, and I'll get to that in a moment. There's two views of this verse, or these verses. That is the prophetical view and the practical view. The prophetical being God's dealing with Israel, and by the way, that's what this book was written to and about, is the nation of Israel. Those are God's chosen people. Amen. And then we look at how that it applies to us Gentiles that have been grafted in, that have been saved by the grace of God, and that being the practical view. Amen. And so look at my verse again, verse number 17. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. You see, there is coming a day when God wraps things up, if you want to say it that way. As far as time is concerned, there's coming a day when God puts a concluding statement, amen, on everything that has been done. God is going to sentence the ungodly to the judgment of eternal torment in the lake of fire. Often we call that hell. Hell is actually in the center of the earth. Hell is not eternal. Hell is a place of judgment similar to the county jail, in that death and hell will be delivered and will stand at the great white throne judgment. And death and hell and all those in hell, all those dead in their trespasses and sins, will be cast into the lake of fire to burn and be tormented forever and ever. And the smoke of their torments will ascend up forever and ever, the Bible says. So we're talking about the lake of fire. If you want to call that hell, that is the hell of hell, if you want to use it that way. That is the very essence of hell, in that it lasts forever and forever. Amen. But not only has God shown that He's going to give judgment to the sinner, but He's going to give justice to the saint. Amen. God's going to welcome us into glory. Amen. Those who have obeyed the gospel, God is going to show us the glory that awaits us. Amen. In that day when we're welcomed into heaven, Jesus said that the day will come when He will admit that He knows us. Amen. And He will admit us into glory. Amen. Welcoming us into glory. If you're in Malachi, turn over just a few pages to Matthew chapter number 25. I want to show you some verses there in Matthew chapter 25. real quickly. I've got a lot of verses today, as I have in other times, but I want to show you some of these. Many of these I'll just read to you. But Matthew 25, verse 34, I want you to see what our Lord said. And if you had a red letter edition, these would be in red. And that doesn't make it any more the Word of God than others. It's all the Word of God. Amen. Matthew 25, verse 34, "Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Now, there's a lot of things I notice about Matthew 25, 34. The King is not the Father. The King is the Son. You notice that? "Then saith the King, Then shall the King say to them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father." So the King has a Father. Amen. The Father has a Son, and the Father's Son is King. Amen. One of the big things that the Muslims cry, they cry, Allah had no son. Therefore, Allah has no king, and He has no kingdom. But our God has a Son. Amen. And His Son is King. Praise God. And He's got a kingdom that's coming. Amen. And there's coming a day He's going to recognize us. He's going to admit that He knows us. Praise God. And He's going to welcome us into glory. Amen. "Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Now, you can hold on right there, but in Mark chapter number 8, let me just tell you a few things about this. There's going to be the direct opposite that's going to take place with others. Matthew 25 is talking about the separation of the sheep and the goats. The saved and the lost, alright? Separating them. And that same teaching, as He's going to welcome us in, has an opposite effect on the sinner. Mark chapter 8, verse 38, Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of Me and of My words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when He cometh in the glory of His Father with holy angels." So Jesus said, there are some people who won't acknowledge Me, and I won't acknowledge them when that day comes. That's what He's saying. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, the Bible said, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us." Amen. There's a group of people that have denied the Lord Jesus, and He is not going to admit them into glory. Amen. There's coming a day when He's going to be ashamed of them in the presence of His God and in the presence of angels. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, verse 23, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from Me, ye that work iniquity." So you see the difference, the disparity. You've got those on the right hand who will be admitted that He knows them. They will be admitted into glory. There are those on His left hand that He will say, "I never knew you." They were ashamed of Him. They rejected Him. They denied Him. Amen. They mocked Him. And there's coming a day when He's going to deny them that He never knew them. Amen. If you're in Matthew 25, jump back to verse 21. Matthew 25, verse number 21. This is dealing with the parable of the man that has the goods that he delivers to his servants. In verse number 21, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things." I believe that's talking about the kingdom. But look at the last phrase there. And, or he says, "Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Amen. That is where He admits He knows us. That is where He opens the door of glory and allows us to go in. By the way, He is the door. And if you've gone through Him, you're already in. Praise God. Amen. But if you don't go through Him, you won't get in. Amen. But He's saying here to this group, "You've served Me. You've pleased Me. You've acknowledged Me. And I'm saying, well done. I've got a kingdom for you. But besides the kingdom, I've got glory in heaven for eternity." The kingdom is 1,000 years of reign on the earth. Amen. But heaven is forever and forever. Amen. Just like the unbeliever will be punished in hell for a period of time and then taken out of hell and cast into the lake of fire, the believer will be rewarded in the kingdom for a period of time and then will be graduated on to glory when it's all said and done. Praise God. Amen. And our eternity will be an eternity of blessedness and privilege with the Lord. Amen. Now I'm back at my verse, Malachi 3:17. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Amen. Now, I mentioned that there's three natural breaks in this verse. We looked at one already. The first natural break being what I call the possession termed of divine proprietorship, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord. God said, I own them. Again, that's Him admitting that He knows us. Amen. The word own does not just mean I own it. I bought that car out there and paid for that. No, owning also means I'll acknowledge that they're mine. Amen. I'll own up to the fact that they're mine. Amen. Some of you, those children are yours, but at times you say they're not yours, they're their mama's. Or their dad's. Amen now. That's your son. Are you with me? Or especially if that's your son-in-law. Amen right there. Amen. Something along that line. In other words, we don't always own up to them, but there's coming a day. God not only bought us, He's going to own up to the fact, amen, that He's not ashamed to call us brethren. Amen. He's not ashamed to call us His own. Amen. Behold, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Amen. Amen. There's the possession termed of the divine proprietorship. And then secondly, and here's what I want to deal with today. There's the peculiar treasure of those deemed precious stones. Here's the phrase I want to preach on this morning. In that day when I make up my jewels. Praise God. Amen. 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 There's coming a day. Amen. The world's having its day today, but there's coming a day when it'll be our day. Amen. It'll be our turn to shout. It'll be our time to rejoice. It'll be our time to celebrate. Amen. Because God's going to wrap it all up and God's going to reward us. Amen. For our faith in Him. Amen. As a part of the reward of being God's own redeemed people, a part of being not only His estate, purchased by His death. But there's coming a place that we will be exalted. Amen. Not only His estate will be exalted. Amen. And that is polished by His divine will. Amen. When I think of jewels, I think of shining things. I think of brilliance. I think of splendor. I think of beauty. Don't you? Amen. Amen. And He's talking about that as us. That's us. They shall be mine in that day when I make up my jewels. We'll be polished by His divine will. Amen. We'll be exalted to that position. And we sang that song, Lord, lead me on to higher ground. I believe the saved of God are headed towards better days. Amen. Amen. God counts those who are saved by His grace as jewels in His eyes. Amen. He considers us His treasures. And one day we'll be exalted as His trophies. Amen. Amen. Now, listen, we were nothing but junk when He found us. Amen. Amen. God didn't get a diamond when He got you. He got a chunk of coal. And He had to work on you to make a diamond. Amen. That's right. When God found us, we were nothing but a piece of junk. Amen. And the work of the Holy Ghost began to work on our heart, began to polish. He began to work on us in His providence. Amen. Bringing us to that place where we could shine forth with His glory. Look with me in Ephesians chapter number 2. You probably can quote this. Most people can quote the first 10 verses at least of Ephesians chapter 2. If not, you ought to work on that and make that a goal. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, I'm going to read you some verses. I'm not going to read all 10. I'll just read 7 this morning. All right, look with me. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1. Amen. Down through verse number 7. I'm talking about where He found us and what He did with us when He found us. And verse number 1, the Bible said, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." That's when we were in darkness. That's when we were encapsulated in the world and in worldliness. Amen. "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." We were just like them as far as nature's concerned. But God did a supernatural work. Amen. Verse number 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Look at this. "That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." He found us as a piece of junk, just another rock, just another lump of clay, just another piece of dirt. And He dug us out of the muck and the mire, and He brought us out of the darkness into light, and He began to polish on us, and He began to work on us. And He said, "One day I'm going to exalt them, and they're going to shine as the stars of the heavens." Amen. When He makes up His jewels. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Well, I'd like to look at this statement here about God considered us His jewels, and compare that thought to making up jewels. That's what He called it. Amen. That with the thought of saving the souls of men and bringing them into heaven. Amen. First of all, I want to mention, and I've got to be fair about this, this word translated jewel in Malachi 3:17 could have been translated something other than jewel. It could have been translated peculiar treasure, because it does not necessarily mean a stone. That word jewel, it actually means a peculiar treasure. Something that God has set His affection on. Amen. That's what it means, really. Amen. And this jewel here is a peculiar treasure. That verse could have said, "When I gather up my treasures." Amen. When I gather up those I love, when I gather up those I honor, amen, and consider as peculiar treasure. And it wouldn't have messed with the rest of the Scripture. In Exodus chapter number 19, verse number 5, the Bible says this, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." God was talking to Israel at the mount there, as He's getting ready to give Moses the commandments. And He said, "If you will obey these commandments, if you'll be my people, you will be a peculiar treasure unto me. All the world is mine, but you'll be a special people." Amen. In Psalm number 135, verse number 4, the Bible says, "For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto Himself and Israel for His peculiar treasure." That's the same word translated jewel here that we're looking at. In Titus chapter number 2, verses number 13 and 14, again, familiar verses, He said, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Amen. We were just people like other people are people. We were just part of the earth, part of the world, until God found us, set His affection on us, and brought us out of that mess. Thank God. Amen. Amen. Now, having said it could have been translated otherwise, I'm not saying it should have. I believe the King James translators got it right every time. Amen. Amen. I don't believe they made a mistake here in Malachi 3. Amen. They had it right when they chose this particular word, jewels. They chose this word to describe God's saved and salvaged children. Amen. Therefore, I want to look through that lens just a few moments. I'll not be long on this thought, and get to thinking about jewels for a moment. Jewels are generally gems, not J-I-M-S. A lot of J-I-M-S. Gems are not gems. G-E-M-S. Gems. Gemstones. If you look up the word jewel in Wikipedia, as a matter of fact, if you look up the word jewel, it'll take you to gems. It'll take you to gemstones. They've got a whole other thing for jewelry.
or jewelry, but dealing with gemstones. Gemstones, you know what they are? They're precious stones. Ask anybody in the world, that's what they call them. They're precious stones. They're considered precious by people that don't have scientific evidence. People that don't know how to read and write. Amen. They're considered precious by heathens, by people that have never been to a day of school, never known a thing, never been to a shopping mall, never been to a jewel store. Amen. Maybe in the jungles of Africa, by the way, in the darkest regions of the world is where the best jewels come from. Amen. Amen. And well, there's a thought there if you want to dwell on it a little bit. But in some of those places where they know nothing about worldly wisdom, nothing about worldly knowledge, they understand that a gem is a precious stone. Amen. Amen. And they call them precious stones. Well, jewelry is usually some metal, some metallic substance that is perhaps bedecked with jewels. You know what makes a diamond precious is when it's on the ring, a diamond ring. Amen. When it's in the necklace, in its setting. But the setting's not what's important, because if you lose that jewel out of its setting, you'll almost throw the setting away in order to try to get the jewel back. Amen. Amen. The jewel is what's important. I'm talking about this thing of the gem. Well, gemstones are actually simply stones. They're just rocks. That's what it boils down to. Their composition is the fact that they're rocks. They're very much a part of this natural world. But they're considered precious because of their rarity. Right. Precious because of their beauty. And precious because of their value. Now, I want to think of that for just a moment. Jewels or gems are rare. Does that line up with the King James Bible about being saved? Amen. 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 That lines up entirely with the Bible about being saved. Luke chapter number 13, verses 23 and 24. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. You know what he's saying? They said, is salvation rare? Jesus said, it's rarer than you think it is. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate. That does not mean like a straight line. It means narrow, very enclosed, very, very narrow. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Amen. I'm telling you, the majority of the world are not saved. Everybody's not worshiping the same God we're worshiping. Amen. I don't care even if they call Him by the same name. Even if they call Him Jesus. Many of them are not worshiping the same Jesus we're worshiping, let alone the same God, the Father, that we're worshiping. Amen. Allah is not God. He's not. I know George W. Bush said He was. He's not God. He's a false God. Amen. Amen. The Mormon's God, the Muslim's God, the Jehovah's Witnesses' God, all these, and by the way, some of these, they claim that they're in a Christian sect, and yet their God's not the same God we worship. Amen. I could go on and say a lot about that. I don't mean to divide that line too much, other than to say there is not the same God. The truth is, the majority of people are not going to heaven. I'm afraid maybe that it's very possible that even in Bible-believing, Bible-preaching Baptist churches, where they hear the King James Bible, they heed the doctrines, they toe the line, and everything looks real good, I'm afraid a whole lot of them might not be going that we think are going. Amen. Few there be that find it. Jewels are rare. Amen. Gemstones are not only rare, they're usually obtained through great effort and trouble. Amen. Gems are stuck in the dirt. They're usually at home in the filth and the dirt. Amen. They have to be dug up. They have to be lifted out. Amen. They cannot get out on their own. Jewels are stuck in the dirt. Amen. They're at home in the dirt, and there has to be somebody that sees them, somebody that acknowledges them, somebody that recognizes that they are precious to them. Amen. That is willing to dig them out. The miner must leave the comfort of his home. Amen. He must leave the sunlight of his environment and enter into the dark cave, enter into the deep crevices of the earth. Amen. In order to extract the jewel from the dirt. Amen. I'm telling you, our Lord left the glories and the splendor of heaven, and He came to this sin-cursed earth. But He did not just come to this earth. He went to the heart of the earth. Amen. He went into the depths. Amen. And I'm glad He came to where I was and where you were. Amen. And He looked on us and He called us precious. Amen. Amen. When we weren't precious, when we was at home in our environment, when we were satisfied with what we were living in, God came by and began to chip away and began to work away, amen, and separate us from that, amen. I'm telling you, it's a work of grace to cause us to get sick of sin, amen. It's a work of grace to cause us to want to get out from where we're at, amen. Amen. It's a work of grace. But God came, amen, Christ came, and began to chip away, amen, began to work on getting us out, amen. I read where that, in Africa, that's where all the great diamond mines are. And that in Africa, slaves were and may possibly still be being used. By the way, it wasn't Southern Americans that invented slavery now. Amen. But they were and may still be being used. Muslims still own slaves to this day. All right now, I don't mean to get up on it, but that's truth. Study it out, find out, but I'm not telling you the truth. It's the truth. But those slaves, there was a rule among those slaves digging in the caves that if a slave could find a certain diamond, a diamond of such exquisiteness, that slave could buy his freedom with finding that jewel. Are you listening to me? Here's what I got to think about. Our Lord came and He was not a slave, but He became a servant. Amen. He became a slave. He didn't earn freedom by getting us free, but He bought our freedom. He became a slave to buy our freedom. Amen. Instead of the jewel buying the slave's freedom, Jesus became a slave that the jewel might be freed. Amen. What a blessing that is in my heart. Amen. But that jewel is found, and then it's dug around. It's carefully loosened in the hold of the dirt and the common stones that are holding it in place. Then that stone must be lifted from its bed of other stones, or it must be lifted from the cavern floor and the clinging dirt. And then it is cleansed of that clinging dirt. Amen. It is polished and it is etched. It is smooth. It is displayed and then finally encased in the jewelry. Amen. Gems. He's talking about when I gather my jewels. Praise God. Amen. When Christ came, when Christ left His throne in glory and came looking for jewels in this dark, depraved world, He suffered and sought for sinners, that He might lift them from their filth and their sin. Amen. We were comfortable in our sin. I have to say that again and again. We were comfortable. I thought about what the Bible, and such were some of you.
Right.
Amen. There was a time adultery didn't bother us. There was a time cursing didn't bother us. Amen. There was a time lying and stealing, missing church, all that goes along with sin today. Rock music didn't bother us. Amen. Dancing, I could go through a list of things, alcohol, drugs, dope, a lot of things did not bother us. We were a part of that, but I'm glad God brought us out of that. Amen. Amen. I'm glad He chipped away and He pulled away and He pried away and He brought me to Himself. Amen. And brought me to the marvelous light. Amen. Of the glorious gospel and saved me by His grace. Amen. Amen. Christ shed His light into our darkness and lifted us from our natural estate. Then He cleansed us, amen, cleaned us up, and began His work on us. Amen. Psalm 40 verse 2. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6:11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed. Praise God. But you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Amen. Amen. Now, jewels are part of the world until they are found. Amen. They have to be found. Are you listening? Amen. Amen. And then they are extracted from the world. They're brought out. And then, you know what they do? Once they are extracted, they are worked on. They are polished. Most jewels have to go through the fire. Amen. Heat and fire purifies jewels. Here's what I read. That especially in emeralds. Emeralds are cloudy many times. Diamonds sometimes can be cloudy. But a good diamond or a good emerald goes through the fire that the color might be clear through it. That the colors might be, what's the word I'm looking for? That they might work together and be what they're supposed to be. I mean, what God wants from us, He said in Him is no darkness at all, neither shadow of turning. And God don't want our light to be cloudy or our light to be shadowy. Amen. God wants us to go through the fire so we'll be clear. Amen. So our colors will be clear. That's what He wants. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. They must go through the fire in order to purify them. And then they take abrasive things, and they begin to work on them. And that polishes them. Amen. And this is done so that gems can be used and encased and placed in a place of jewelry. Amen. Then many times they're cut and polished before being placed in the jewelry. All right. Saints go through similar heated circumstances. Isn't that right? You got saved by the grace of God. If your story's like mine, you got saved by the grace of God. You thought that meant all your troubles was past. Amen. And you thought everybody down at work, you thought all your hippie buddies would want to hear about Jesus, right? You found out different. You found out they'd mock you. They said, that ain't going to last. They said, oh, so-and-so's got religion. Amen. They didn't recognize the difference in religion and salvation. Amen. All they saw was religion. And you saw that instead of being in a, by the way, it's not cool to serve Jesus. Amen. You'll get in some hot water. You'll get in some hot, heated situations. Amen. If you're going to serve Jesus. But I'm going to tell you what the heat will do. The heat will purify you. The heat will let you shine. Amen. Amen. The heat will make you more clear, let your colors be clear. Amen. And it'll shine light. By the way, diamonds don't have any light of their own, but they reflect the light better than any other stone, by the way. Amen. I'm telling you, we need to just reflect the light of Jesus. Amen. Let the fire do its work in us. When we go through similar heated circumstances, we go through abrasive circumstances. That's why God put you in the church here with us, so we can work on you. Amen. We can be sandpaper. Amen. Amen. That may be why God lets you be born into the family you were born into, by the way. Preacher, you don't know how they grate on me. That's the plan. That's the plan. God has to work on it. I'm telling it right. I know it's funny, but it's right.
Amen.
God has to work on us in order to make us a jewel that can be a trophy one day. Amen. He purifies us and He polishes us before He places us in that shining position. Amen. Some saints, I'm almost done, some saints are allowed to shine and be showcased in this world, but not many. Most of His jewels are waiting for that day that He talked about. Most of His jewels are hidden in darkness. Amen. Amen. Brother Brown said it. Brother Bell reminded me of it some days back in his message when Brother Brown preached on this verse. Three sermons, by the way, he preached on it. And, well, Lord willing, tonight will be my third sermon on it. I just start saying I ain't going to do three, but it will be. Amen. But anyway, he said that to show the brilliance, they put it on the darkest background. If you go to a jewelry store and they show you a diamond ring, they're going to have a black cloth underneath that diamond. You know why? Because the darkness surrounding it makes its light shine better. Amen. You may feel like you're in a hidden corner somewhere. God's got a reason for that. And there's coming a day when He'll show off your shining. Amen. Amen. Well, you know the stars don't ever even come out until it gets dark. Amen. But when the world gets dark enough, God's going to let us shine. I believe that's right. Amen. 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 Well, there's coming a day that our text is talking about when God makes up His jewels. One characteristic of precious stones is their hardness, their stability.
Right.
Some stones, even though they're stones, are really crumbly. Amen. Are really soft and pliable. Amen. You remember the Bible talks about an alabaster box. Alabaster is a stone. But it's a stone that actually can be molded. You can push it around with your hands. And it can be molded to make a vessel that can hold things. And she broke that box, that seal. Once that bottle was made, or a box, however that it was made, and then they'll rub in the sides of it and make it meld together. And in order to get out that wonderful perfume, it has to be broken in order to get that perfume out. Well, I'm telling you, the gemstones of God are not pliable in this world's hands. The world may do its best to ply us. The world may do its best to mold us into its image, but we're not to be conformed to this world. Amen. We're to be resistant to the world. We're to be hardened by the grace of God and stand our ground. Amen. In other words, we are to persevere. That's what I'm preaching this morning. Amen. We're to be strong in the face of the heat and in the face of the trouble. Amen. These stones are not crumbly. They're not like other materials, but they endure for generations. Amen. God has also given this quality to His servants. Through troubles and fiery trials, Peter said, you go through these fiery trials, don't think it's strange. But here's what Peter had. He had the idea that you're going to come out of it on the other side. Amen. Amen. Here's what I believe. I believe God's jewels will endure the heat. And those that don't endure the heat were not really jewels. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to ask this question and I'm closing. Have you ever been dug out of the miry clay? Have you ever been rescued out of that pit, recognized you was in darkness, and the Holy Ghost came where you was at, started dealing with your heart, started chipping away? Have you ever been there? How about this? Are you chafing right now at the fact that there's fires on your life? That there's abrasion in your life? I'm going to tell you something. Surrender your will to God, because God is infinitely wiser than we are. And He knows what's best. Amen. And God is also infinitely merciful. And He'll not use any more pressure than is necessary to produce what He's trying to produce in our life. Are you ready for that day? He said, when I make up my jewels. Let's stand to our feet. Jesus is coming as a thief in the night. Isn't that what the Bible said? You know what thieves break any house for? They're after your jewels. Jesus is coming to this world again, and He's going to get His jewels. With heads bowed and eyes closed while they're coming, I wonder if God spoke to your heart. You need to come around this altar. Maybe you'd like to call on God. Ask Him to save you. Ask Him to make you a jewel. Ask Him to help you as He's working on you. To surrender to His will. To surrender to His work. And allow Him to have His right of way in your life. Are you willing to wait? Not be showcased in this life. But wait till the day when He makes up His jewels and He showcases us in glory. What a day that'll be. Heavenly Father, I pray, move in this invitation in accordance to Thy will. Get the glory. Do the work You want to do. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen and amen. While we sing, would You come?